Well, the 2017 North American International Auto Show opens to the public this weekend, and for several years now, Detroit Free Press auto critic Mark Phelan has graciously carved some of his time from a very busy schedule to give us show highlights in general and to discuss green initiatives in the auto industry. Mark, first, Happy New Year to you and yours, and thank you, as always, for your time.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me back.
Mark, before we get into some of the broader issues that I'd like to talk about, let's begin with this year's auto show. It starts this weekend, January 14th, the public part of it. It runs through Sunday, January the 22nd. What are some of the highlights for our listeners?
Well, the biggest trend that we're going to see is SUVs. The growth in that type of vehicle sales has been incredible. It's outstripped what any automaker expected, and we're just going to see more and more of it. General Motors will have a new family-carrying SUV, a new version of the Traverse that they've been selling for a couple of years that's bigger but also lighter and more fuel-efficient, and we will see SUVs of virtually every size and type. And we'll see them getting the kind of fuel economy that, frankly, was unimaginable a few years ago, thanks to lighter weight and engineering advances.
So the fact that there's a great demand for SUVs doesn't necessarily militate against efficiency and green technology.
No. These are going to have all the same technologies you'd see in a compact car, and many of them are much smaller than people think of. The fuel economy of the new generation of SUVs is light years better than what we got in the past because of new technologies, but also because a lot of these vehicles are much smaller than what people may think of when they hear the term SUV. We're not talking Chevy Suburbans and Ford Expeditions alone anymore. There are a lot of these that are based on the same mechanical systems as cars like the Chevy Sonic or the Honda Fit, so that they're small, subcompact SUVs, and they get more than 30 miles a gallon on the highway. Fuel economy figures that people couldn't imagine a few years ago, but they also give people the height and the all-wheel drive that are the things people really want most out of an SUV.
Are we going to see any battery technology married with any of these SUVs at the auto show?
At this show, I don't think there's going to be much hybrid activity where these SUVs are concerned, mostly because the market is still growing and people are just getting into it with their early models. There have been concepts of battery-powered SUVs. Jaguar's got a very interesting battery-powered concept that they say they're going to build in a couple of years, but we're probably still in the first wave of introductions of these vehicles, and once they've had them on the ground for a couple of years, then we'll see hybridization and battery power coming on in a big way on the SUV side as well.
Last year, we talked about what a wonderful year 2015 was in the for auto sales. 2016 was another banner year. What are you hearing about 2017, Mark?
Well, nobody is betting that we're going to get that lucky 3 years in a row, but there is generally a sense of confidence that sales should remain strong. We're not expecting another record, certainly, but another good year over 16 million seems likely.
You recently wrote an excellent column. It's called Six Technologies to Watch in 2017. It was December 12th in the Free Press, not that long ago. One of the things, and we could talk about each of those technologies, but one that struck me, because as you know, I drive a Chevy Volt, and there are a lot of new electric technologies coming out in 2017. There were some in 2016 as well. But you said that if EVs don't move into the mainstream this year, meaning 2017, you have to wonder whether the technology will ever make the leap. Why did you write that?
Well, first and foremost, because of the Chevrolet Bolt, which is a pure electric car, not a plug-in hybrid like your Volt. The Bolt with a B is pure electric, and it can go 238 miles on a charge, according to EPA tests. That's the kind of range that people have not been able to get from electric vehicles before. People who were worried that an electric wouldn't let them get far enough to, you know, drive perhaps from Detroit to Lansing for a football game, for instance, and back. The Bolt takes care of that problem, it's far more affordable than other electric vehicles with, you know, with really long ranges. A Tesla that can go 240 miles will cost you $70,000 or $80,000. The Bolt, after the tax incentives are applied to it, starts at under $30,000. So that's really taking the pure battery electric car and making it appealing to a much wider group of people. And if they don't say, yes, I'll take a chance on electric now, you have to wonder, will they ever? The other side of the coin is that we are also seeing more plug-in hybrids like the Volt that you've got, which are cars that have batteries that let them go 15, 20, 30, in the case of your Volt, 50 miles on a battery charge. And then if you need to go farther, there's an there's a gasoline engine that is available also. So between those two, longer range at lower price for pure electric cars and a wider range of plug-in hybrids, this does seem like the time when electrics have something to offer to a very wide slice of the buying audience now.
Mark, we've got a new administration in Washington, and there's a lot of speculation. And right now, a lot of things are unpredictable. But what may a Trump administration, what are you hearing, what may a Trump administration mean to the auto industry? And how are the auto executives positioning themselves for this new administration?
Well, unpredictable, the word that you used, would sum up just about everybody's first response. I don't think anyone in the industry really knows what to expect from the administration. There is the pressure to not import cars. There's, you know, been the complaints about companies that build new plants in Mexico and other countries. Will there be more of that? Will there perhaps be an import tariff, which would be a huge change in policy from the way America has traded historically for the last, you know, 50 years. Something like that could have a very severe impact on sales, pushing them down. Car dealers are worried that if there was a, say, 20% import tax on cars, that could reduce annual sales by a couple of million units. That's one aspect that people are uncertain about. On the other hand, they're also uncertain about the direction of fuel economy and emissions regulations, because, you know, Mr. Trump does not seem to be particularly persuaded by the evidence about global climate change. Much of the emissions regulation has been, and fuel economy improvements have been specifically to reduce climate change. So will he try to reverse that trend?
Yeah, so the auto executives are in some ways feeling a little bit whipsawed right now. I mean, what do you make of Ford's recent decision to forego a plant in Mexico and instead add 700 jobs down in Flat Rock?
It's very difficult to be sure. On the one hand, the plant in Mexico that they were building, a lot of analysts thought that they were over-optimistic last year when they announced that they were going to add that plant. And it was building Focus cars, which, as we were talking about earlier, the action, the growth in the market is SUVs, not small cars. So whether Ford was actually going to need a plant that could build another couple of 100,000 small cars seemed like a very open question to people. So it's very difficult to be certain how much of that is a response to the pressure from President-elect Trump and how much of it is a response to the trends in the market. We do know that they are going to add production of some hybrid vehicles to Flat Rock, which is very interesting. One of the vehicles they named specifically was a Mustang that has some hybrid technology. That's a very good example of how electrification and hybrid technology is going to move really into just about every corner of the market. Ford is now talking about hybrid versions of their, you know, classic muscle car, the Mustang, and of the F-150 pickup, because they want to improve fuel economy in all of those vehicles. Even if the administration reduces the incentives or the regulations for higher fuel economy, all of these car companies have to sell vehicles around the world, so they would still have to develop the same technologies. Because of that, you know, the Detroit automakers are a little bit reluctant to see the clock rolled far too far back, I think, because in the past they had to develop one kind of vehicle for sale in the United States and another kind for sale around the rest of the world when everybody else that they were competing with was only developing vehicles to meet the full world's needs and selling them here as well. So there are downsides to lower regulation, even from the point of view of some industry people who generally don't care for regulation. It's a very difficult path to see what they expect or what they want. I think a little bit of moderation in the targets for fuel economy would probably make them happy, but I don't think they want to see a reversal of direction by any means.
Well, you answered my next question about some moderation in CAFE standards to counterbalance some of the issues related to trade and to domestic production. But it seems like the auto executives are trying their best right now to sort of feel out this administration and at least to position themselves so they can be in a position of some negotiation.
Yes, yes. And they know that this administration is not going to be shy about pushing them. So they're trying very hard to read where's the wind coming from, how can they take advantage of the things that Mr. Trump says that he wants them to do, and perhaps use that as a way to get leverage for some of the things that they want to do. The fact that Ford announced that it was not building a plant in Mexico at the same event where it said it was going to add jobs to build hybrid vehicles in Michigan could be an example of that. They gave Mr. Trump something that he could immediately claim as a victory, whether it really was related to anything that he had said or not in the plant decision. And they said at the same time, look, we're building these hybrid vehicles. We need support for that as well. So I think they're going to try to figure out, you know, what is the middle ground that they can walk.
I'm talking with Detroit Free Press auto critic Mark Phelan. Mark, a question that's often occurred to me, and I should have asked you this a couple of interviews ago, but when you talk about fuel efficiency, when you talk about reduced emissions, when you talk about battery and other green technologies in the auto industry that have happened over the last 10 to 15 to 20 years, how much of that would have happened without some government intervention and oversight?
Oh, the government direction is responsible for the vast majority of it. If gasoline is cheap or if prices fluctuate wildly, as they tend to do, people don't change their buying habits radically. Or they may change their buying habits for a year or two when gasoline costs $4 a gallon, and when it goes back down to $2 a gallon, they decide that they want big vehicles that use much more fuel. That kind of inconsistency makes it almost impossible for automakers to plan. The investment cost and the investment time to develop a new engine, a new family of vehicles, is immense. So what they want more than anything else, really, is predictability. And that was one of the great, I think, victories, accomplishments of the Obama administration. They came up with a series of very challenging fuel economy standards going out to 2025, but because it was a roadmap all the way out to 2025, the automakers could see where they had to get and come up with a long-term plan and a strategy to reach those goals. So even though the goals were very challenging, they were willing to take them on because they believed we know what the end point of this set of regulations is. So consistency is very important, and consistency drove much of the move to higher fuel economy, because otherwise buying habits for people will change radically from one year to another based on the price of fuel. But the regulations can be a kind of a moderating factor.
Mark, we're just about out of time here, and I wanted to touch on autonomous vehicles, but that we'll have to do that. We could do a whole interview on something fun like where are we going with autonomous vehicles? I know you've addressed that in your columns. I would encourage my listeners to read Mark Phelan in the Free Press. He is the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press. Mark, enjoy your time at the auto show. I know you already had the media preview, but you'll be spending a lot of time down there. And as always, thank you so much for spending some time on Greening of the Great Lakes.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.